What do big data companies do with all those billions of data points? If you're Cisco, you turn them into a story that predicts how the world will use the internet in the next 5 years. Techonomics host Jason Middleton talks with a Cisco executive about the future of the digital economy. That starts now.
Hello, and thanks for listening. Big data companies. They help other companies and people find needles in haystacks, maybe needles nobody knew existed. Just gigabytes of useful data found among trillions of, let's just call them extra data points. Cisco Systems uses an annual data scrape and analysis to predict where and how internet traffic is going to evolve.
If we think globally, there'll be over 27 billion devices and connection things connected by 2021. Of those 27 billion, 51%, 13.1 billion, will be things like soil sensors, like our utility meters, like our smartwatches.
Told you so. Cisco's 12th annual Visual Networking Index predicts global internet traffic through 2021. And as you may imagine, most of it is either video or smart devices, the proverbial Internet of Things. Now, there's one data takeaway that we did not cover in the interview, but it is relevant for context, and it's this. By the year 2021, 58% of the global population will have access to the internet. That's up from 44% last year. For comparison, 89% of Americans are currently connected, while only 21% of the population in the Middle East and Africa have access to the internet. Okay, here's part one of two of my chat with a Cisco executive about this year's networking index.
Thomas Barnett, Director of Marketing at Cisco System.
Mr. Barnett, thank you for coming into the studio, braving Monday morning traffic here in the Bay Area.
My pleasure, Jason. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else.
How nice of you. Look, I look forward to this report we're going to kind of unpack today every year. And Cisco does a massive data drag and a massive data analysis. So what was this like 5 years ago, 4 years ago, moving into today, and how was it compiled?
Actually, it's been over a decade. Over 10 years ago.
I'm old.
And I'm older. So over 10 years ago, we had our engineers wanted to know what our customers needed. Part of that comes from what are the traffic trends? What sort of routers and switches do we need to build to handle the capacity of traffic that's coming?
What are some of the takeaways you find your customers most interested in?
So for a service provider, what they're most interested in is the peak rate of growth. So if you think about television and you think primetime TV, there's primetime internet. And primetime internet is happening slightly after primetime TV, so between like 9 p.m. and midnight.
Okay.
That's when people are online. And that's how people have to build their networks. They don't build it for average use. They build it for peak use.
Right. But let's talk about the trends, because I think that's what they're relying on you, right? Their customers are relying on you to take this raw data and help them make sense of it. Find the needle in the haystack.
Yeah. And so the repercussions, the big thing is, right, if you're a service provider, it's a great time because the demand for your service has never been greater. But at the same time, their revenues aren't growing. So the answers they need to figure out are, how do I stay connected to my customer? How do I provide differentiated services? Where can I save money and make money at the end of the day?
Right.
And so things like the Internet of Things, which we'll talk about, and connecting things other than our personal devices, things like the connected car, connected health, connected home. Those are new revenue streams that they've got to get right at some point.
Yes.
Because it can't just be about our mobile phone and our data plan that they're making money. It can't just be about our subscription to the 150 channels of only 20 we watch.
Right.
They've got to really expand. So it's growth, and then how can they be more efficient in their network as well?
And monetize that growth, right?
Exactly.
Okay. You said a couple things there that interest me. One is, we're never going to have fewer endpoints than we have right now.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
So we have to prep for that. But then you mentioned the Internet of Things, and I think that's a good place for us to start with your data, because there's some intriguing stuff that came out of that. Anything you wanted to highlight, or do you want to go through the bullets?
Let's make this as organic as possible.
Right on.
I think, again, everyone knows that things are growing, but it's actually quantifying that. And so to help quantify that, if we think globally, there'll be over 27 billion devices and connection things connected by 2021.
Okay.
of those 27 billion, 51%, 13.1 billion will be things like soil sensors, like our utility meters, like our smartwatches,
right,
things that previously were unconnected. So when we think about the internet and how we're connecting, it's not just about PCs, tablets, and smartphones anymore. It's these things that weren't previously connected.
Oh.
So that's, again, understanding the volume. And as you're telling your clients, we're going to have more endpoints. We're going to have a lot more endpoints.
Yeah, and to your point, it's not just as you were answering, I was thinking like, okay, well, I deal with enterprises, right?
Yeah.
But think about on the commercial level, that's fine, but on the consumer level too. So we're exponential in two different directions.
Absolutely. And the business side is another key growth area, right? Because the cool thing about the internet is before there were things that only large enterprises could afford. You could afford, you know, your telepresence or video conferencing. Now small companies, small mm-hmm. to medium businesses can afford to have that same look and feel and technology expertise at a fraction of the cost. So there's the business and the consumer represent two good opportunities for the ISPs.
And with the scale that Cisco operates, you're sitting right there at the corner where you can see all this kind of coming and you got data to back it up. That's something a lot of people don't have. Global internet access, right? I imagine that Western Europe and parts of Asia are probably doing pretty well with exposure to the internet, but it's got to be growing, right? Because there's a whole big world out there.
When you think about the internet and how fast it's grown and its pervasiveness with any other technology, I mean, when you compare it to telephones, when you compare it to electricity, the rate and depth at which it's grown is unbelievable. So at the beginning of the forecast period, 2015, about 44% of the world's population are using the internet.
Mm-hmm.
By the end, 2021, we always do a five-year forecast. By the end of the forecast period, nearly 60% of the global population will have internet access. Now, some of those, when we think about sub-Saharan Africa, rural areas, their mobile phone is their sole connection.
Totally.
Others of us have multiple connections, multiple devices. So many of us think about the internet for communications and entertainment purposes.
Mm.
But for some people in these rural areas, it's life-changing. It's access to banking that they've never had before. It's access to healthcare. It's access to some levels of education. So yes, there's an entertainment value, but there can also be a transformational information value as well.
We've said on this show several times that the internet is basically the central nervous system for modern society,
mm-hmm.
if not just the economy, but definitely for society, because you're talking about quality of life stuff. We're not talking about being able to download something and watch it on our phones because we'll have a long commute on the 5.
Exactly.
We're talking about microloans coming in sub-Saharan Africa and in India that are all mobile device based.
Absolutely.
Very fascinating stuff. The next one is something close to my heart, personal front page, cord cutting. I used to work for NBC and Comcast, and as soon as I did not work for them and I saw what my monthly bill was, I cut the cord. What are you finding around cord cutting?
Well, so I think you mentioned it, right? Cord cutting is cost cutting for many people. So I think there's a couple behavioral things that are happening. One, millennials are seeing largely that I don't need all these channels. I don't watch all the channels and I'm not willing to pay for them. If I get a digital media adapter, as you've done, I can get the content that I'm willing to pay for, mm-hmm. that I want to watch. The other part of it is content is king. And so if I'm able to get that at a less expensive rate and watch it on demand whenever I want to,
right,
that's what some people are opting for. And so the interesting thing about that is cord-cutting households are generating almost twice as much internet traffic. So a typical digital TV subscribing home generates about 63 gigabytes of traffic per month. A cord-cutting household is 117 gig a month. That's because they're getting everything over the internet. We've become, again, this shows in some cases how indispensable the internet can be. And if you have three daughters like me and your Wi-Fi connection goes down and they're all looking at you like Wi-Fi's down, you know you better fix that very
right.
quickly.
That's a fire drill right there. We're speaking with Thomas Barnett. He's director of marketing at Cisco. How does Cisco deal with some of this data? How do you internalize? Let's stick with cord cutting for a second. How does that help you analyze and track out for 5 years?
So first of all, it helps us guide our customers. So we tell them, look, you're going to need an ecosystem. You're going to need to partner with some of these people that maybe are competing with you. And we've seen that already with large ISPs that formerly saw Netflix, for example, as riding over the top of their network, and it was a competition. Now they've brokered deals where they're guaranteeing Netflix and their subscribers certain rates, certain broadband speeds to ensure that their experience is good. So the competitor became a partner, and mm-hmm. now they're getting a piece of that revenue.
Right. Well, so Netflix is also paying for some of that.
They're paying for it.
Privileged status. Yeah. Okay.
Exactly. So, and the other thing that we're seeing is as video becomes more and more pervasive in what we want to see, what we call content delivery networks or CDNs, so that before video was always distributed from a central location or a head end, now the most popular content is actually distributed in smaller networks that are closer to the edge or closer to the end user so that that can be delivered more efficiently.
That was Thomas Barnett, Director of Marketing at Cisco, based in San Jose, California. This is part one of two with Mr. Barnett as we discuss Cisco's 12th annual Visual Networking Index. It's a report that all kinds of companies rely on to predict what's next for the internet and how we use it. Coming up after the break, part two of our chat about the future of the interwebs.
Essentially, all the movies ever made will cross the internet every minute by 2021.
That conversation is right after the break. I'm Jason Middleton, and this is Techonomics. Please stick around for that.